a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Zhu Junfeng. The headlines we're tracking at this hour. Growth prospect, China's key macro indicators for January and February indicate a steady pickup in consumption and investment. Strengthening ties, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi has met with New Zealand's Prime Minister Christopher Luxon and his counterpart Winston Peters in Wellington. Gaining traction, China's electric tricycles gain overseas popularity through cross-border e-commerce. The Chinese economy remained stable and saw growth in the first 2 months of 2024, says economic data released by the National Bureau of Statistics on Monday. My colleague Yang Shanshan reports.
The National Bureau of Statistics says China's economy remains stable and saw growth in the first 2 months. The latest economic data from January and February shows an improvement in industrial production, with 7% growth. The service industry showed good momentum, with a growth of 5.8% year-on-year, particularly in hotel and catering, software, information technology, and finance services. Investments in fixed assets increased steadily, and investments in high-tech industries grew fast. Market sales continued to recover, and service consumption grew faster.
The manufacturing industry recovered faster, particularly in the consumer goods and high-tech sectors, though it still faces pressure from inadequate orders and rising costs. It is making efforts to improve innovation and competence so as to upgrade its value chain.
Import and export of goods grew fast, with an increase of 8.7% year-on-year. Employment situation was generally stable, with urban unemployment rate averaging 5.3%. Consumption price remained the same, and the production prices for industrial products declined by 2.6% year-on-year.
We are confident of achieving 5% GDP annual growth in 2024 as major economic indexes continue to rebound, supporting policies having an impact. However, we must keep in mind that the situation abroad is still complex and volatile, with the world economy facing uncertain risks. Chinese domestic demand still remains inadequate, and the foundation of economic recovery is still not solid yet.
Chinese officials promise that they will intensify efforts to support economy, improve business environment, and stimulate domestic demand, with hope that China could achieve high-quality economic development in 2024. Yang Shanshan, CGTN, Beijing.
For more discussion on the latest economic data, let's bring Liu Zhiqing, a senior fellow at the Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies of Renmin University in China. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Liu. In the first 2 months of this year, social retail experienced 5.5% growth annually. How do you interpret this figure?
I think this figure reflects a very positive picture of China's economic development, especially in the February and in the first 2 months. We think that the 2 months are very critical for China's economic beginning. That's a new start of the year. So we show that the figure for the social retail, 7.7% increase, that's a very a positive, very satisfactory. It's a good shape for the China's economic forecast for the rest of this year, because we can see two numbers. One is from the urban, this consumption over consumption arrived at 7 trillion, but the rural only 1 trillion yuan, plus together that is 8 trillion yuan. This is the social retail figure. Now, if we can try our best to stimulate, to promote the consumption of the retail business in the rural areas by 10%, that could be great increase and progress for China's economic as a basic business. So in this way, that it shows that a great potential for China, but also we need more efforts that have to stimulate and promote the rural social retail business in order to get the whole picture much better, much positive in the future.
Right. Several cities in the country have already started the trading old for new campaign, offering subsidies of about 10% on furniture and home appliances for consumers. How effective will this be in stimulating domestic demand?
Shortly speaking, we should say this is a good move that to stimulate the consumption, especially for the industrial products. It's also by a line side, we can also improve the quality of life for the residents of the people. Because several months ago, we have already proposed that we should take measures to replace those old-time house operators, because this is a big market. According to some statistics, we see that this is at least 1 trillion yuan. So big market. Size is enough. But what we need more is the detailed measures and the policies, how to go ahead. Because it's not easy to replace these old operators, refrigerators, washing machines, TV, even small cars at home, so furniture, so for instance. How to replace it? Who gave the definition of this quality control? Mm. How can control the price? So in this way, that there are a lot of detailed policies we need waiting for the government to come out. And actually, there's something other than very more important than these operators, house operators. We have so many old houses that are built last century, 70s, 60s. These houses now come to the time to be replaced, rebuilt. How big a market? We cannot imagine. So we should do it step by step in order to get our economic always on the right track to stimulate this further development of our economy.
Right. And manufacturing remains a key sector in China, and industrial added value has seen 7% annual growth in the first 2 months of this year. How do you analyze this in the context of China's ongoing promotion of development of new quality productive forces?
This is a very important point. I think from these figures, I'm much interested in the 3 points. First, the high-tech production increased by 7.5%. For the manufacturer itself, increased by 7.7%. These two factors are very, very basic for the whole picture of our economy. And of course, from these pictures, we see another sign that for the foreign invested companies, that they have already increased 6.2%. For private, increased 6.5%. Mm. All these four figures combined together, we can see really a positive, very optimistic picture for our economy. So in the future, I really hope that the statistical organization can prepare and provide a new quality productive force index in the future. This is a very important index to tell the society, to tell the whole economic community how our new quality productive forces develop now, what problems and uncertainties and challenges we are facing. So how many money we need more to be invested. This is a very important index. We are awaiting it.
Thank you so much for your insights. That's Mr. Liu Zhiqing from Renmin University of China. Now, it's estimated that innovation could see the value of China's commercial space industry pass 2 trillion yuan this year. The sector is seen as embodying what the known as new quality productive forces, referring to an innovation-led focus in China's economic development. Guo Tianqi traveled to southwest Sichuan province to learn more.
We're invited to visit a private satellite internet technology company in Chengdu that's introducing artificial intelligence components into its products. Among its clients are regional governments, multinational corporations, and international sporting events such as the FISU World University Games held in the city last year.
The FISU Games or Dayun satellite is mainly used for monitoring forest fires and the effect of urban heat islands. It can sense abnormal heat sources on the ground and provide technical support for preparations in the construction of sports venues, smart buildings and smart cities.
How are satellites that use AI technology different to conventional models? Conventional satellites convert information received from space into electrical signals. Ground stations decode and process the signals, removing interference and errors. AI-enabled satellites, on the other hand, put the computing power into space and can process, synthesize, and compress an image, sending back data to Earth in real time.
We have been working with the universities in Hong Kong, and we are also cooperating with other countries in response to major natural disasters around the world, such as the earthquake in Turkey. And we also export satellite services through the Asia-Pacific Space Cooperation Organization.
Satellites can provide much wider coverage than ground-based monitoring systems alone. Linked to a dedicated infrastructure construction network, satellites can support services such as weather monitoring, communication, geological disaster prevention, agriculture, even tourism and building safety inspection. The commercial satellite industry is considered to be a promising sector.
Commercial satellites have advantages such as high fault tolerance, low cost, and a strong innovation ability. With the increasing number of low-cost, smaller, and multifunctional satellites, the commercial satellites market will be even bigger. In the next 5 years, we estimated that the number of commercial satellites in orbit in China could exceed 1,200.
In this year's government report, the commercial spaceflight industry was mentioned for the first time as a future industry that with huge potential for growth. It is hoped that with favorable policies and more investment, the launch cost of such spaceflight can be reduced, leading us to a smarter era for the society as a whole. Guo Tianqi, CGTN, Chengdu, Sichuan Province.
The world economy as we know it is about to change. Global business reports highlight emerging markets, developing countries, and dynamic sectors worldwide. We feature top analysts and newsmakers to provide perspectives on every facet of business. From an on-the-ground perspective, we provide you with balanced and objective assessments. Fast, sharp, and insightful. Global business. Only on CGTN.
Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi has met with New Zealand's Prime Minister Christopher Luxon and his counterpart Winston Peters in Wellington. Wang Yi is on the first leg of a five-day trip to New Zealand and Australia. It's also the first visit by Chinese Foreign Minister to the two Pacific nations in 7 years. In opening remarks, Foreign Minister Peters said the meeting was a valuable opportunity for both sides to assess their bilateral ties. For more updates on the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi's trip to New Zealand, let's cross to our reporter Owen Poland in Auckland. Oh, Owen, how did Wang Yi's meetings go with New Zealand's Prime Minister and Foreign Minister?
Well, as you mentioned in the introduction, the last time China's Foreign Minister was here in New Zealand was back in 2017. So obviously the economic and political landscape has changed quite dramatically since then. New Zealand's Foreign Minister Winston Peters says that he was honoured to host Wang Yi in the Grand Hall, here at New Zealand's old Parliament buildings, which he says is the heart of New Zealand's democracy. Mr. Peters says that the bilateral meeting was a valuable opportunity to reflect on the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead, especially after the disruption caused by COVID. Mr. Wang's visit marks 10 years since China and New Zealand signed a comprehensive strategic partnership. And Mr. Peters said this is a timely opportunity to work on how they might develop and handle the next 10 years of this relationship. Mr. Peters says it's also very important to work together on regional and international issues, and he emphasized the constructive role that China could play in responding to international security challenges like the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Now, earlier today, Wang Yi, as you mentioned, met with New Zealand's Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, who highlighted the thriving two-way trade between the two countries. And he also praised New Zealand's vibrant Chinese community, which he said has made this country a much better place to live in. Mr. Luxon says that working together with China was really critical to building relationships across the Asia-Pacific region. And Wang Yi responded by praising New Zealand's rational, pragmatic, and positive policy towards China, which obviously bodes well for the future relationship between the two countries.
Thanks very much. That's Owen Poland for us in Auckland. For more discussion on China and New Zealand tie, let's bring in Liu Baochun, Dean of the Center for International Business Ethics at the University of International Business and Economics. Thanks for joining us, Professor Liu. China has long been New Zealand's largest trading partner, accounting for more than 30% of all New Zealand's exports. As the first developed country to sign a free trade agreement with China in 2008, what are some of the key cooperation areas between the two countries?
Well, the bilateral relationship on many fronts has been very healthy and has been gone through all the tests of time. As a matter of fact, in the 10 years before the breakout of the COVID, the bilateral trade has really gone to tenfold level of growth. And still, the China offers the nearly 30% of the entire trade for New Zealand. So therefore, the trade is still playing a dominant role. And now in the Chinese market, we have seen the all sorts of dairy products from New Zealand, from powder to cheese, and also my favorite, the kiwi fruit. And also, they also have very high quality honey that is available to Chinese consumers, which is very well fitted for the Chinese strategy of boosting domestic consumption and providing more variety and quality to the Chinese consumers. And then we also have a lots of other collaboration in the area of investment. Accumulative investment has reached more than the 12 billion New Zealand dollar. And now we can see that many of the New Zealand farms and some mining industries and real estate development have attracted a lot more of the Chinese investment, particularly from the Chinese private sector. And right now, when New Zealand is unfolding its grant plan to upgrade its infrastructure, building roads and ports, and many other infrastructure facilities, and China is also being unfolded with more of the opportunities to participate. So this is really pretty much in thanks to the wise leadership of both of the government to strengthen its ties despite of some of the both domestic and external politicking. And now people do see that by collaboration, we can really see more benefits of economic strengths of both countries. And more importantly, is really the benefit of all consumers on both sides. That really matters a great deal.
Mm. Now, let's talk about the RCEP, Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, that both countries are involved. It's expected to provide more opportunities for both countries. What can we expect from this agreement?
Well, leadership from both countries do see the importance of regional integration, particularly given that a WTO as a multilateral trade one, in which, of course, we are all members to it, and are really dysfunctioning. And now we are benefit a great deal from the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership with the 15 countries being the participants. And together with the continuous upgrading of the free trade agreement and also with the Belt and Road Initiative memo, and so we can see that there's been further reduction and elimination of not only the tariff, but of also many of those red tapes that could really add cost to the doing business. And particularly now, from the beginning of this year, we see that China has completely eliminated the tariff for the imports of they are milk powder from New Zealand, and that gives quite a happy push to the continued the export into Chinese market, in which the Chinese young parents are really very much enthused in receiving such a news, because that means a less cost on the house expenditures. And now we are also seeking the membership of the TPP, which is really a more demanding the level of regional economic cooperation, in which the New Zealand serves as secretariat, and that's going to be a a very healthy boost to not only to the bilateral trade, but also to further the polish the Chinese image as a responsible trader, and also as a important player in the regional integration and collaboration with many other countries in this area in terms of environmental consideration and protection of laborers.
Thanks for your input. That's Professor Liu Baocheng from UIBE. Time now for our special series, Biz Focus. In today's episode, let's zoom in to a special transportation in China, which has been going viral overseas. Many believe that this winter, even Santa Claus is ditching its reindeer in favor of an electric tricycle for delivering gifts. All you have to do is placing an order on a cross-border e-commerce platform, and a new tricycle will be at your doorstep within a few months. But how many steps are involved in sending a transportation like this overseas? And how will China's cross-border e-commerce business model aid companies in global expansion? Our reporter Olivia He has more.
The first sentence an American learns in Chinese may no longer be 你好, but
要车请注意.
Last year, a special form of transportation that is common in China became very popular with American families. This vehicle is known as a sanbengzi and is a type of low-speed electric tricycle.
Olivia,
uh-huh.
I got a question for you.
Okay, what is it?
We've been riding around on these things for quite a while now,
mm-hmm.
but why do people call it a sanbengzi?
So actually, sanbengzi is a slang, like san three refers to three wheels, while bengzi refers to the iconic bouncing sound old engines used to make, like yes. And Ben, I got a question for you too. So as an American, why do you think these sanbengzi or tricycles are going viral in the US?
Well, one, they're super convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Now, currently, a lot of people like a pickup truck. These things are huge, but you're carrying around a lot of loads, you're carrying people and carrying groceries, but they use a bunch of gas, and they're really hard to turn around in tight locations. These things take away all of that.
In addition to their ease of use, the convenience of purchasing one of these electric tricycles was a prerequisite for them to become more popular. Numerous Chinese sanbengzi companies have reported that since New Year's Day in 2024, the number of orders placed by American consumers through various e-commerce platforms has been steadily increasing.
From this factory, about 360 tricycles are shipped overseas every day. A new tricycle can be rode out of the production line within just 48 seconds. Now let's walk into the factory and see what happens after you place your order.
Step 1. Manufacturers will publish their product information to the e-commerce platform and wait for customer inquiries. After receiving a customer's order, they'll customize the production of the products according to requirements.
Step 2, the assembly workshop. Now let's enjoy a 48-second magic show together. A brand new tricycle is ready. Now you'll undergo a series of tests.
We currently export to more than 80 countries and regions, with our main sales area being in Europe. Because we have a dozen models with EU certification, they can be registered with the local license plate. We have an electric three-wheeler called Qinglong that has been on the market in Europe for 2 years. By the end of last year, a total of 4,000 units were sold.
Step 3 is the final step, which is pack and ship.
It's like an airport hangar here. I mean, all these tricycles are going to take international flights. For example, the ones on the left are flying to Germany, while the ones in the front are going to Austria, and the others are heading to the US.
At present, most electric tricycles are shipped to their destinations in bulk through containers. For customers, it only takes 1 to 2 months to receive an order. For enterprises, the convenience of exporting has also been greatly improved.
When we first started exporting our products overseas in 2017, there were only 5 people on the team. We had to go abroad to look for customers, and it took some time to get a visa. Can you imagine? Our founder was also in charge of some translation work and packed products himself. Now, our team has over 100 employees. With cross-border e-commerce platforms, we reach out to customers and communicate with them directly online, which is way more efficient.
The increasingly complete functions of e-commerce platforms and the speed and flexibility of supply chains allows more medium-sized enterprises to conduct cross-border transactions without leaving home.
支付宝到账,一万元.
Take Alibaba as an example. Its platform has AI assistants to help companies translate, optimize product details, provide intelligent replies, and can also achieve country-specific targeted promotion based on experience.
China's cross-border e-commerce development reflects the upgrading of the entire supply chain and industrial chain. Logistics, payment, and digital applications are continuously improving. Besides, a semi-managed service is widely used where cross-border e-commerce platforms can take over complexities in the entire contract, such as funds and after-sales, which is like a full-link service for the entire contract fulfillment process.
Since 2023, Chinese electric vehicles have been one of the fastest-growing export industries on Alibaba International Station. In the first quarter of this year, the online transaction volume of the entire vehicle industry on the cross-border e-commerce platform increased by about 42% year-on-year. Among the different categories, online transaction volume of some new energy products represented by electric tricycles increased by more than 200% year-on-year.
Our automotive industry is now expanding globally. Businesses in foreign trade can profit by finding channels through cross-border e-commerce, even for niche products. Additionally, the government is simplifying customs and optimizing taxes to enhance the growth of cross-border e-commerce.
Now we understand the popularity of Sanbenzi isn't coincidental, but due largely to China's advanced cross-border e-commerce platforms. They enable small and medium-sized enterprises to reach global markets and cater to the demands of international consumers. So, would you purchase a Sanbenzi online?
To wrap up this edition of Global Business, I'm Zhu Feng. Stay with us.